Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. I got Fancy Brian in the Shaw. He's producing. I got Evan here in the world headquarters. He's lightly screening the calls. And we got you listening on the radio. And Fancy Brian, got a fine guest joining just a little bit later in the show. Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire. A new national Supreme Court polling is out. And we're going to be joined by Charles in like 23 minutes. So please make a note of it. Please stick around for Charles Franklin. But I have to speak again, you know, because unfortunately this tragic murder is dominating the headlines. We got to go there. And my fear is, you know, I always hear these politicians saying, this is not who we are as a nation. It's not who we are. But here's the problem. Yes, this is absolutely who we are. It is. We'll talk more about that. Little thing happened this afternoon in Texas. Obviously, this murderer, this 18-year-old that apparently started buying up AR-15s immediately after his 18th birthday, and within a matter of days, went on this murderous rampage. Killed a bunch of elementary school students. And Beto O'Rourke, and he was the congressman from Texas, presidential candidate, and now gubernatorial candidate from Texas. He went out and he confronted the sitting governor, Greg Abbott. And I'm not trying to be ironic. Greg Abbott seated at a podium. And there were local officials from the scene of this tragedy. But O'Rourke went after Greg Abbott. And I just want to set the stage for a minute. Now, the NRA is going deep in the heart of Texas this Friday, having their national convention. And a couple of very famous speakers. Well, you got Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. Apparently, Senator John Cornyn from Texas. He's a late scratch, you know, conflict unrelated to the shooting, he claims. And you got the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott will be a keynote speaker at the NRA convention in Houston on Friday. And of course, the former president, Donald Trump, he'll be there. And after the news of this tragic, murderous rampage broke yesterday, Abbott did a little press conference. First, he addressed some wildfires in Texas. And then he talked about the shooting. And then he went to a fundraiser, as all good politicians do. He'll cash in some checks for himself because he's running for re-election. Now, today, his campaign said, well, we're putting the politics on hold. Today, we are. You know, they already collected the checks last night, Fancy Brian. Makes it easier to put a little pause on today. And anyways, want to start today with the sound of former Congressman Beto O'Rourke confronting Greg Abbott, doing so in Texas. Let's do it from the rundown. The first one's going to sound a little quiet because Beto's not on a microphone. He's confronting him from the crowd and then approaches the seated podium. Cut number one, Beto O'Rourke and Greg Abbott.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Beto.
I can't need to exit.
This is on you.
Beto, what do you have to say? What do you have to say, Beto?
This is not the place to do that.
What do you have to say, sir?
They are not
This is on you. Until you choose to do something different, this will continue to happen. Somebody needs to stand up for the children of this state, or they will continue to be killed, just like they were killed in Uvalde yesterday.
Get out of here. You're trying.
Okay, Texas Democratic gubernatorial candidate Beto O'Rourke confronted Texas Governor Greg Abbott at a press conference in Uvalde on Wednesday following an elementary school shooting that left 21 dead, including 19 children. Abbott had been providing information on mental health in the wake of the shooting when O'Rourke rushed up to the podium. "You're doing nothing," O'Rourke said, only a few feet away from Abbott. "You said this was not predictable. This was totally predictable, and you choose not to do anything." Uvalde Mayor Don McLaughlin could be heard yelling, "Sir, you're out of line. Please leave this auditorium. You're out of line," McLaughlin shouted. "I can't believe you're a sick son of a bitch who would come to a deal like that to make a political issue." And then O'Rourke was escorted out of the auditorium, and he addressed the waiting press. And we've got some of that sound as well. I have not heard this sound, so we'll all hear it together. Let's play more of Beto. He felt like he had to do something. Cut two.
"Why are we letting this happen in this country? Why is this happening in this state? Year after year, city after city. This is on all of us if we do not do something, and I am going to do something, and I'm not alone."
Cut number three, I believe, Beto O'Rourke.
"We could have stopped this if we had stood up after Santa Fe High School, if we had stood up after El Paso. We are going to stop the next one."
"We're going to stop the next one," he claims. Cut number four, Beto O'Rourke.
"This is on all of us if we do not do something, and I am going to do something, and I'm not alone. The people of Texas are with us. The majority of the people of Texas are with us, but we've got to stand up to this, or we just accept this theater and business as usual, and we accept the next shooting."
We could have stopped this, according to Beto O'Rourke. Cut number five, please.
"We could have stopped this if we had stood up after Santa Fe High School. If we had stood up after El Paso. We are going to stop the next one. We're standing up right here in Uvalde, Texas, right now."
Okay, now O'Rourke tries to make the point about, you know, this should not be a partisan issue. You see if it's effective. Cut number six, please.
"I could care less whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent, to stand up right now for yourself, for your kids, for our families."
And one more from former Congressman Beto O'Rourke in Texas today after confronting Greg Abbott, the current governor of Texas. Cut number seven, please.
"The governor talks about mental health. It is insane that we allow an 18-year-old to go in and buy an AR-15. What the hell did we think he was going to do with that?"
What indeed? Paul Waldman at the Washington Post. I don't know that I'll be able to work all the way through this. Got a fine guest coming at 3:30. But the headline here, yes, this absolutely is who we are. I'm going to read from his column. "Other than thoughts and prayers, there is no bigger lie. We are told in the wake of yet another mass shooting than this is not who we are. We hear it again and again, usually from Democratic politicians, claiming that if we could look deep within and be our true core of national goodness, we can come together to stop the pile of dead bodies from growing ever higher. But this is exactly who we are. We are the place with more guns than people, where tens of thousands are murdered every year, and where arguments over parking spaces end in death. We're the place where much of the gun legislation that passes ensures that almost anyone can take guns almost anywhere. We're the place where candidates for office show their cultural bona fides by popping off rounds in a campaign ad. Pardon me. We are not England or France or Canada or Denmark or Japan or Portugal or any other country. In those places, parents send their kids to school worried that they might catch a cold or struggle with a math problem or face bullying. They don't worry that someone will come into their child's classroom with a weapon of war and tear their little bodies apart. Nor do their children themselves have that worry, But here in the United States, an entire generation has grown up doing drills in case someone enters their school and tries to kill them. They huddle in closets, barricade doors, hear lectures about what they might throw at an armed killer to slow him down. They practice and practice, each time its own kind of trauma, so that if and when their school is added to the long list, Caliban High School, Sandy Hook Elementary School, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, Robb Elementary School, perhaps they will be the lucky ones who make it out alive. This is who we are. All of us living under a cloud of violence and murder. The roots of this insanity go back far, but today it is maintained by the party that has leveraged its minority rule to make sure virtually no limits are imposed on guns, which it fetishizes and worships and celebrates. So with bodies still being gathered, the Lieutenant Governor of Texas goes on TV to say that the solution to the next mass killing is that we have to harden these targets. He was not talking about a forward operating base in a war zone. He's talking about elementary schools. This weekend, the NRA will hold its annual meeting in Houston. Speakers, including former President Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Greg Abbott, will regale the crowd with tales of their passion for putting as many guns in the hands of as many people as possible. Guns will be stroked and admired and held aloft in triumph. Just 2 weeks ago, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals struck down a California law that forbade anyone younger than 21 from buying a semi-automatic rifle. In a 2-1 decision, two judges appointed by Trump wrote passionately of the importance of allowing 18-year-olds to buy AR-15s. Here's from their ruling. America would not exist without the heroism of young adults who fought and died in our Revolutionary War. Today, we reaffirm that our Constitution still protects the right that enabled their sacrifice, the right of young adults to keep and bear arms. If an 18-year-old had to wait until he was 21 to buy an AR-15, could we truly call ourselves free? Come back. Devil's Advocates Radio, the Wednesday edition.
Never again. I say it. Never again.
You fool me. We can't get fooled again.
Never again. I say it. Never again.
Play it again, son.
Never again. I say it. Never again.
Insane.